Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a six-week COVID-19 lockdown is being proposed for Northern Ireland by its health minister. Meanwhile, a family setting involving a large gathering of people is said to have been the cause of the recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Donegal. The Gaelic of Donegal County Council has revealed she has reservations about taking the COVID-19 vaccine. And the EU Council of Fisheries Ministers in Brussels have agreed to set quotas for fish stocks for the first 3 months of 2021. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, a six-week COVID-19 lockdown is being proposed for Northern Ireland by its health minister. The Northern Executive is meeting today to consider introducing tighter coronavirus restrictions after Christmas. Hospitality, retail and leisure facilities could all be shut under plans being proposed by Minister Robin Swan. It comes as a further 12 COVID-related deaths have been reported in the north and 656 new cases of the disease. Monaghan GP Dr Iona Duffy feels the lack of an all-island approach has allowed the virus to surge on both sides of the border.
It's been disappointing all along that there was never any unity with regards to the restrictions on both sides of the border, and it's something that has been asked and called for both from the southern politicians and from Professor Scally, who's been an advocate for us coming to an all-Ireland agreement. And I think if we'd had that early on, even in the last couple of months, I think we would probably have been able to reduce rates not only in the border counties but probably in the north itself.
A family setting involving a large gathering of people is said to have been the cause of the recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Donegal. 53 new infections were reported in the county yesterday, with the 14-day incidence rate also increasing to 245.6 per 100,000 of the population. The Director of Public Health in the Northwest, Dr. Anthony Breslin, has confirmed that there have also been a few small family outbreaks in the county in recent days. Ahead of the holiday period, Dr. Breslin is warning people to keep their guard up and adhere to the guidelines. He also says serious concern remains over the high COVID figures reported in neighbouring Northern Ireland.
Yes, we report figures of 50 reported for Donegal, and involved there was a situation in the community where there was an outbreak in a family setting with a large number of people. And I hope to figure that today's figures will be down substantially. But I think what this illustrates is that once the virus gets into a house, it can spread around the house very quickly. What we're beginning to see again now is what we saw sort of back in the autumn when we had christenings and communions, etc., etc., that people are letting the guard slip in the house. That when families get together, unless they're families who are living in the same house, we have begun to see small family outbreaks with sort of two or three cases where someone has come in, there hasn't been a social distance, there hasn't been a face covering, and it's caused infection. So we need to keep doing the basics. And obviously, unfortunately, Donegal has a different situation in that we have the border situation, and we've a lot more cross-border travel in Donegal than we have, let's say, for Cavan Monaghan, because historically that's been there, as I said, for centuries. People do their shopping in Strabane or Lifford, or they go to Derry, or they go to Letterkenny, whatever, and that's the way it is. We have to accept that, but people do it within the guidance.
The Taoiseach has tested negative for COVID-19 after being a close contact of the French president, while Justice Minister Helen McEntee is restricting her movements this evening after being a close contact of a possible case. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin was restricting his movements earlier after being a close contact of the French President Emmanuel Macron. Multiple European leaders had to self-isolate or restrict their movements after spending time with the French President at last week's European Council meeting before he tested positive for COVID this week. The Taoiseach had a rapid test this afternoon, which was negative. However, Justice Minister Helen McEntee is restricting her movements this evening. A spokesman for the minister confirmed she's a close contact of someone who's being tested after displaying symptoms, and as a result will restrict her movements pending the result of that test. It comes amid growing concern in government about the spread of COVID ahead of the lifting of travel restrictions tomorrow. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council has revealed she has reservations about taking the COVID-19 vaccine. The European Medicines Agency is due to meet on Monday to consider whether to give the Pfizer shot the go-ahead. Councillor Rena Donoghue says it has been her disposition to limit taking any form of medication, and for that reason she would be hesitant to get the job. While not ruling out getting the vaccine entirely, Councillor Donoghue says for now she will be adopting a wait-and-see approach.
I am just a person, I take tablets, I never take medication. I wouldn't take two Panadols in a year, Greg. Now, I know that the vaccine will have to meet the regulatory standards of safety and so on and so forth, and I wouldn't in any way be advocating for anyone not to take it. It's just to say that I wouldn't be the first in the line for it, simply because I'm not a person that takes tablets. I'm not saying that I wouldn't take it.
No, I'm saying if you were approached by the council as the mayor of the county and as the first citizen, and they said to you, look, we want to sort of get a picture of you taking the vaccine to encourage others to do it, you would decline.
Yes, if that was to be tomorrow, I would say no, I'll wait a wee while longer. That's just me, and as I say, I'm not advocating for anyone else. I'm delighted that there is a vaccine. And it's great to have it as the first way forward. And I've met loads of people that are patiently waiting to take it. I met a man yesterday and he said, yes, I can't wait for it. I can't wait to get it. It's not a man who is sick or has health problems. And I thought, well, that's great. It's up to every individual. As I say, I'm just saying that...
So what do you mean by when you say wait and see, like what would you be waiting for?
I suppose maybe I would just like to wait for a wee while just to see what the outcome is.
The government's been accused of pushing profit on the economy before people's health by insisting schools should stay open. There had been calls from some opposition TDs for the schools to close early for Christmas and stay shut for a longer period in a bid to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Former Solidarity TD Ruth Coppinger believes the coalition is holding firm in schools staying open for political reasons.
We have a situation where the government have just, they've staked their political lives on the schools being kept open at all costs. You know, nothing else has gone very right for this government apart from that. And I will say, teachers have been exemplary in enforcing rigidly, you know, hygiene measures, sanitation.
Britain's Cabinet Office Minister says it's still most likely the UK will exit the Brexit transition period without a trade deal in place with the EU. Earlier, the European Union's chief negotiator revealed there's been good progress in the talks. Michel Barnier says they're in the final stretch. Minister Michael Gove has been updating a committee of MPs about the ongoing discussions.
The process of negotiations has managed to narrow down areas of difference. And it's certainly the case that there are fewer areas of difference now than there were in October or indeed in July. The areas of difference are still significant and they do go to the very, very heart of the mandate.
Meanwhile, EU Council fisheries ministers in Brussels have agreed to set quotas for fish stocks for the first 3 months of 2021. An interim total allowable catches and quotas will be set for the first quarter of next year based on a rollover of 25% of the 2020 TAC levels for the majority of stocks, while a higher rollover has been applied to certain migratory stocks. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell says it's an important interim measure aiming to mitigate the impact of Brexit.
For significant issues which I had to resolve as Minister for Fisheries from an Irish perspective, which reflected the particular seasonality of some of our fisheries, for example, in relation to mackerel and horse mackerel and blue whiting, and also prawns off our west coast, which tend to be fished much more so in the first 3 months of the year than at any other time of the year. So it was really important that fishing pattern was reflected and that our fishermen would be able to go out and fish for those in the first 3 months of the year. And I am happy that we got a good outcome in that regard, and it now provides some certainty for fishermen that they know that they can go and fish on the 1st of January and that there is clarity there for the first 3 months of the year.
But still no agreement with the UK on a future relationship with fisheries, a big, big stumbling block still, it would seem. But Ursula von der Leyen did suggest yesterday that a narrow pathway is achievable in possibly securing a Brexit trade deal. What's your take on the situation today?
Yeah, well, no, it certainly seems to be the case that some progress has been made in the last few days, and certainly the potential for a deal looks much more hopeful now than it did last weekend. Obviously, from the very outset, we have been really concerned in relation to the exposure of fisheries throughout the negotiations, and that's something that I, as Minister, and all ministers and the Taoiseach and the government have been very resolute with in terms of engagement with Michel Barnier and the EU Commission. And obviously, there's lots of nervousness at the moment as we come, hopefully, towards the final days of what we hope will be an agreement. But we're as resolute as ever in trying to ensure that our fisheries sector is protected, and both in terms of our quota share for our share of catch.
There are further calls on both the HSE and government to sanction the necessary funding to restore respite services for people with intellectual disabilities in Inishowen. It emerged in recent weeks that there's only one designated respite bed available in Riverwalk Respite House in Carndonagh, despite there being 46 service users on the peninsula. A motion was passed at the recent sitting of Donegal County Council, calling on the local authority to raise the issue with the Health Minister, the Minister of State for Disability and the HSE. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Albert Doherty, says the issue is having a serious knock-on effect on the local community.
I'm very aware now that the Donegal Intellectual Disability Service, that they have highlighted to National HSE that there is funding required for what's been called the Cinderella area of healthcare, and that's the support for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. So there has now been a prioritisation assessment for the resumption of respite supports, and what is required now is funding is received. And what is now evident is that the HSE and the motion adopted at Donegal County Council, which has occurred since I first spoke on the Regional Health Forum, we have now demanded that the funding required is provided for increased respite, increased and additional hours, and increased beds in the Inishowen area, because what was said 2 weeks ago remains the same and has remained the same for quite a while. 3 beds are provided at Riverwalk Respite House in Carndonagh. 2 of them are still taken for emergency services. So there still is a need for an adequate provision for emergency services and a need for respite beds. Very much so in the Inishowen Peninsula.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, for the Donegal fan who can't make it home this Christmas, why not send them a Donegal GAA Ultimate Supporters gift box? See michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with boxing. Promoter Mick Hennessy has confirmed the signing of Donegal fighter Brett McGinty ahead of his long-awaited professional debut tomorrow night in Redditch in England. Middleweight McGinty has signed a long-term promotional agreement with Hennessy and begins his pro career in a 4-round contest against Jan Arden on the undercard of the British light heavyweight title clash between Shaquan Peters and Craig Richards. It's been a 9-month wait for McGinty, who was to have had his first outing in March, but it was cancelled due to COVID. Donegal Boxing Board President is Peter O'Donnell.
A very, very big night, watching, and I'm delighted for him. I'm really over the moon to see Brett getting this debut in the professional ranks over him, because he's waited, as you say yourself, a long time since he was to make his debut way back in March. And due to COVID, that was all knocked in the head, and he hung on there and he was waiting and waiting and waiting, and he was in Manchester, kept himself in good shape. So then you need to be mentally very strong to be in Manchester on your own there, week in, week out, training, sparring, what have you. And he's waiting actually 9 months like to the morning night day he gets his debut. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a great night for him, and he'll be glad to get the first one over him when he gets his baptism on morning night. I think he'll be on the right road to a good bit of success in the professional game, hopefully.
Hopefully so. Peter O'Donnell there, Donegal Boxing Board President, speaking to me earlier today, following the news that, of course, Brett McGinty has signed with Mick Hennessy. There'll be more from Peter on that fight taking place tomorrow night on the Score programme this evening. He'll be giving us his thoughts about what lies ahead in the pro ranks for Brett McGinty. That's on the Score just after the 7 News. Also on the show tonight, we'll be hearing from Donegal Minor manager Luke Barrett ahead of that derby clash with Tyrone in the Ulster Championship this weekend. We'll be getting the feel out of Tyrone with Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald and Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post. Derry are playing Armagh this weekend. Martin McHugh gives us his thoughts on the Dublin Mayo All-Ireland final. And as always, Leon Blanche will be on air with his predictions in our ahead of the game section. The score tonight here in Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news. Now to darts. Darrell Gurney came out on top in the All-Ireland second round match at the PDC World Championships this afternoon. The Derry native beat Limerick's Willie O'Connor by 3-2 at Alexandra Palace. That moves him now through to the last 32 after Christmas.
I feel like I haven't won so long on TV that I thought, oh God, this is coming back to bite me. But whenever I still had the throw and I wasn't panicking, wasn't snatching, I still felt like I was going to give myself the opportunity. Obviously, I think in the fifth set, Willie still had a chance. I can't remember what it was, but he had a chance before I did. But I think I had a 1-3-4 to leave 22-24. But I still felt like, I still felt confident that I could win the game from 2-2, even though it was his throw in that set.
To soccer, a proposed takeover of Cork City looks apparently to be off. Grove Moor, a company controlled by Preston owner Trevor Hemmings, will not be taking up their option to buy the club. They've been unable to come to terms with the Munster Football Association on the sale or lease term of Turner's Cross. Cork's Forest Supporters Trust have applied for a licence to compete in next year's SSE or Trustee First Division. Manchester United striker Edison Cavani has been charged with misconduct by the English FA over the use of a racial term on social media. Cavani has until the 4th of January to respond to the charge. Meanwhile, United are in Premier League action tonight against bottom side Sheffield United, who are yet to win this season. United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is well aware of the busy schedule and that it can throw up a surprise result.
We'll see this throughout this season. Whoever gets a midweek rest might have a big advantage, because if you've played midweek every week, it's hard to have everyone 100% sharp for every game.
Kick-off at Bramall Lane is at 8 o'clock. Before that at 6, Aston Villa take on Burnley, who can move out of the relegation zone with a win or a draw. Derry GAA have confirmed Dominic McKinley and Cormac Donnelly as the new management of the senior hurlers. They take over from John McAvoy, who stepped down after 2 years in charge. McKinley has previously managed Derry and Antrim hurlers and has been part of the setup at Slochneil, which won 3 All-Ireland Camogie titles. Donnelly guided Carrick Moore to the senior title in Tyrone this year and was also part of the Slochneil hurlers that won Ulster in recent seasons. Russia has been banned from using its name, flag and anthem at next year's Olympics and the 2022 Football World Cup in Qatar. But athletes and teams will still be allowed to compete at the events as long as they are not implicated in doping or covering up positive tests. The punishment has been reduced from 4 years following an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And finally, the number of players taking legal action against rugby authorities for alleged negligence is growing. World Rugby, the English RFU and the Wales RU have confirmed that they've received a letter from a law firm that's representing 9 retired players. Those players are alleging rugby bosses failed to protect them from the risk of concussion-related injuries. That's your sport, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And for weather now, patchy outbreaks of rain clearing this evening, leaving most areas dry apart from some scattered showers, with lowest temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a 6-week COVID-19 lockdown is being proposed for Northern Ireland by its health minister. The Northern Executive is meeting today to consider introducing tighter coronavirus restrictions after Christmas. A family setting involving a large gathering of people is said to have been the cause of the recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Donegal. 53 new infections were reported in the county yesterday, with the 14-day incidence rate also increasing to 245.6 per 100,000 of the population. The Kirlach of Donegal County Council has revealed she has reservations about taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Councillor Rena Donaghy says it has been her disposition to limit taking any form of medication, and for that reason she would be hesitant to get the job. And there are further calls on both the HSE and the government to sanction the necessary funding to restore respite services for people with intellectual disabilities in Inishowen. It emerged in recent weeks that there's only one designated respite bed available in Riverwalk Respite House Carndonagh, despite there being 46 service users on the peninsula. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, Alma Jordan is no stranger to Farming News and Views. A farmer's wife from County Meath, back in late 2014, she founded AgriKids in the midst of Ireland's worst year on record for farm safety. Since then, things have really taken off, from books to school talks, webinars and much more. She's visited a number of Donegal schools, and many children in the county and adults are aware of her work. She began a series of farm safety books entitled Tales from Riverside Farm, each story dealing with an area of farm safety in an engaging and entertaining format. I spoke to her earlier today. Alma, many thanks for taking the call. Like the rest of us, it's been a very unusual year. So, AgriKids, what's been happening the last 12 months?
Yeah, it's been a really strange year, and a year of heartbreak, but in so many ways I suppose it's been a year of opportunity, and there's been a lot of innovation and creativity that I have seen really kind of coming about. But for me, I had really kind of gotten into a groove of being able to visit schools and bring the message of farm safety to so many communities, but it was all in a physical sense. So come March, April, I was in a situation where schools were suddenly closing, events were being cancelled, and I knew there and then that I was in serious trouble. In fact, with the shutdown of schools, it meant I wasn't going to be able to visit these children at such an important time of the year, being spring and summer. And what's more, these children were now at home, many with full access to a farm. We also had the added complication of parents trying to work from home as well. So it really was a perfect storm when it comes to farm accidents. And sure enough, we did begin to see a big spike in accidents and fatalities back then. So I did have to act fast. And I was approached actually by a county council asking if I do events, virtual events. And I hadn't really thought that what I do would translate well into like a webinar format. And I did the first event virtually, and I had about 60 children on that particular event, and it went very well. And what's more, a school in Northern Ireland got in touch with me in Anaclone, and they asked me would I run their school assembly. And that's really where I knew this could work wonderfully, because not only was I getting the farm safety message out, but teachers were also engaging to say how wonderful it was to see their children interacting with them on a computer screen, and while the children were at home, the teachers were probably still sitting in a classroom. And that was a really, really powerful moment. So I kept it going, and we had Farm Safety Week in July, and I ran daily events. And in that week alone, over 4,000 children took part in the event. So when schools did reopen and I was able to, you know, virtually go into them in their new classrooms, I've managed to reach over 10,000 children. And great. When I kind of compare that to pre-COVID, normally on a full day, I would hit two schools and maybe 200 children. Now I was in a position where I could hit an infinite number of classrooms and in excess of 3,000 children. And it has been incredibly difficult, incredibly challenging, but we had to rise to the challenge, because what I feel, you know, the message that I want to share, the message that I want to put out there is too important for us not to keep trying and to keep going.
Now, it was back in 2015 you published the first in a series of farm safety books entitled Tales from Riverside Farm. Many kids in Donegal have read them, indeed many parents as well. And there's another Donegal angle insofar as the illustrator is from the Mobile area.
He certainly is. Martin Beckett from One Tree Studio, an exceptionally talented artist who I approached way back then, cap in hand, completely naive to the whole production of a storybook. And he really, whatever words and concepts I had in my mind, he brought them to life with beautiful colours, illustrations. And my characters, Tom, Sarah and Mr. Brambles, have never looked back, quite frankly. And it's wonderful now to be able to use so many of his imagery in the virtual events, and it really makes things just pop. And I even managed to get myself, I created a 3D Mr. Bramble, so he actually pops up every now and again during the virtual events.
Do you think in the future we can see the books going on screen or cartoon or anything like that?
I absolutely would love that. And there has been kind of talks happening with various illustration companies and animation houses, but it's not something that I would see as my priority so far. There's still so much work to do. I've just managed to finally, I actually created a vehicle, a van. I have an interactive van which has been funded through various means, from Leader, from the local bank, through local goodwill. I was an awardee at the Social Entrepreneurs Ireland Awards last year, and I managed to use funding from that to create this dedicated interactive vehicle where I can actually showcase everything from the storybooks to games to the interactive resources and digital games that I have too, so that when I am able to get back out onto the road, I can arrive at any location and have a plug-and-play interactive service that's dedicated, that's consistent, and really allows children to not just engage with the topic of farm safety, but also to learn and I suppose create this discussions at home and within their classrooms too. So it's that's going to be a big plan for me now once we get back on the road in 2021. And it's something I'm very excited about. It has never been done before. I got the idea when I travelled over to the UK a couple of years ago and saw that the National Farmers Union had a discovery barn, and I came home hell-bent on making sure I could create something around the farm safety topic, around the agri-kids tone, that could be dedicated and could be a lot more interactive.
And of course, when it's done in a fun way, in an easy-to-learn way, the kids are picking up good habits and good ideas without even realising it at time. And some of these are also passed on to their parents.
They certainly are, and it was actually a school in Donegal that I visited that I suppose has had one of the biggest impacts for me. We have been talking about power takeoff, PTO guards and covers, and the importance of making sure all PTOs are covered. And there was a little girl, she would have been in sixth class, and she put up her hand to explain to me that her daddy was a farmer, but that he didn't have a cover on his PTO. And I could see by her that there was, you know, obviously a grave look of concern on her face. And I put it to her. I said, well, what are we going to do about that? And she looked at me and she went, well, how much do one of those covers cost? And I told her anywhere from 20 to 60 euro maybe. And she went, well, I'm going to buy my daddy one of them for his birthday. And I just remember thinking, not only has she learnt, not only has she, you know, taken on the information, but she is motivated and encouraged and empowered to go home and do something about a situation that she knows is dangerous. Because it's never about frightening children. It's never about telling children you can't go to a farm. It's all about empowering them with information that keeps them safe and those around them safe too, because they will share the information. They will share the topic. Pest or power is an actual thing. It is the power of children and their influential skills in helping us to change our behaviours or purchasing powers. And, you know, our children have been exposed to so much this year with regards to illness and sickness and death. I think we owe them the fact that we owe them the reassurance that we ourselves as parents are doing everything we can to keep them safe and to keep ourselves safe too. And as I always say, the only thing farmers have to do at the end of the day is to come home. We understand the importance of the field, of the animals, of the machinery, but if they're not coming home at the end of that day, none of that stuff matters. So make sure you come home.
And that was Alma Jordan, founder of AgriKids. In other news, with the 31st of December deadline approaching fast, farmers are facing a dilemma on their financial future as the clock starts ticking to extend their GLOSS contracts or risk waiting the details of the new reps. Letters and text messages were issued to 36,000 farmers in GLOSS, and they have a limited time to respond. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, farmers with expired leasing arrangements or less actions will be excluded from GLOSS payments next year, while others who want to exit GLOSS will be left in limbo waiting for reps details that are not expected until the spring of 2021. Meanwhile, a new roadmap on how to eradicate bovine TB in Ireland has been agreed between the Department of Agriculture, farm organisations and other industry stakeholders. It comes after weeks of intensive meetings. And the annual sheep and goat census forms have been issued to over 47,000 sheep and goat keepers registered with the Department of Agriculture. The department has selected Friday, the 31st of December, as the 2020 census date for sheep and goats in Ireland. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, December the 17th. The death has taken place of James Jim McGlynn, Balladerrick, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. Removal from his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Junet's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in the family plot at New Lex Cemetery, Letterkenny. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral is private to family and close friends. Funeral Mass can be joined online via stjunetscathedral.ie. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Michael Duffy, Jew, late of Glasgow and formerly of Bun Glengad Mallon. His remains will arrive at the Muff border tomorrow at approximately 12 noon, going to his home at Bun. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ochaclea Mallon, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral is private to family only. And the death has taken place of Father Patrick McGoldrick, St Orne's Road, Buncrana, and formerly CC Moville. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in the Church of St Pius X, Moville, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery, Buncrana. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only. Family flowers only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the parish website, movilleparish.com.